Well, I know it actually ended up being relatively close, but... Huh, let's face it, another day, another feeble offensive performance. I gotta say, actually, considering everything else that's happened today around sports, right? Two Stanley Cup playoff games, the Leafs hired a new head coach, one NBA playoff game as well. Paul Skeens struck out 11 over a hitless six innings of work today. We even got a story today in sports where, I'm not kidding, the world number one ranked golfer was arrested hours before tee time and still shot 500 par. I mention all of these other events because all of them were, for the better part of 3 hours, more exciting and interesting than what took place here at the Rogers Center tonight. The starter looks good. Gets no run support. Defense, fine. Couple of key errors, but still, the Jays lose by an extremely narrow margin. Today, the only thing that changes really is the score. A 4-3 loss. Jays are now 19-24. Rays, meanwhile, improved to 24-22. Show Adley with you. Of course, you're listening to Jays Talk live on the Sportsnet Radio Network. We're also streaming on sportsnet.ca and on the Sportsnet app. Give me a call, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Text me as well, 590-590, name and location. The People's text line is always open. You want to vent about your team? You give me a call or send me a text, as long as you keep it PG. No cussing. That's the only rule, right? You guys know, but we'll get you on the air. Not the most positive stretch for the Jays since they beat the O's in Game 1 of that last series earlier in the week. So since then, right, since they won in extras, a rainout, they get walked off the next day, they're off the third day, and then yet another offensive performance, can I say offensive offensive performance, in a second straight loss, now against the Rays. Look, I'm pretty sure the biggest cheer, this is not a joke, okay? So down at the Rogers Center, in between innings, you know, they flash things on the scoreboard, the Videotron, and the biggest cheer of the game through the first, like, eight innings, basically, was when a family got on the Videotron and held up a sign that, I'm not kidding, said, "Happy 90th birthday, Mom." And the crowd gave this woman a titanic cheer. And honestly, ma'am, if you're listening, happy birthday to you. 90 is a tremendous benchmark. But that was the biggest cheer of the game. And certainly, David Schneider went on to hit a two-run jack. They made it 4-3, but... I'll tell you, all the energy that had been building up in that eighth inning of work, Tyler Alexander with a perfect game through 7 1/3, just completely deflated, like a fart in the wind, when George Springer grounded into that double play. That was as exciting as it was when the perfect game was broken up, and it actually looked like they were going to mount a comeback. The rally was just killed. And again, George Springer is at the center of it. It's tough to watch. And again, look, it's not all on him. It's not all on Vladdy. Two errors for Vladdy. Like, yeah, it's not great. Like, obviously, it's not great. You don't want two errors from your first baseman, your core player. You don't want your leadoff hitter to ground into a double play. Like, a rally-killing double play to end the inning. Obviously, those are suboptimal plays, let's call them. But again, like, most of the problems for this team lie with the offense. Before we discuss today's action, or lack thereof, I suppose, here's a question for you guys. So the Jays are now 19-24, and we learned from the Blue Jays beat, I saw it from Hazel May earlier this afternoon, that Ross Atkins is going to speak to the media tomorrow morning, I believe, 10:45 a.m. Eastern is when I believe he's meeting with the media. I'm going to be down here, actually, so I think I'm going to go to the availability. But this is what I want to know from you guys. What do you want to hear from Ross Atkins? Like, what does he need to say for you to be sated at this point? Because we hear from John Schneider all the time, right? Like, I'm not really sure John Schneider could really say anything. The guy is cussing now, you know, a little rowdy. I don't know. Like, I mean, whatever. Personally, I don't really care about the cussing. I don't really think it really means it. And I say this to someone who probably cusses way too much, thankfully not on the air. But I'm not really sure he can say anything because he's not the guy in charge, right? So Ross Atkins, going to speak to the media. I've gotten a lot of calls and texts, and I've heard Blair say this. I've heard a lot of you guys say this. But we have not heard from Ross Atkins all season, like dating back to the spring. So what does the GM need to say or outline tomorrow to the media, which obviously they'll relay to you guys? And now keep in mind, this is a front office that has not always been super transparent. I would use the word opaque, which is the opposite of transparent. Atkins himself has largely engaged in GM speak during his career, which a lot of people do. But, I mean, if he's going to do that, then does it matter? I want to know your thoughts, certainly on the game, but also what you want to hear from Ross Atkins tomorrow morning Again, 416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. 590-590 is the text line. You can call me, or pardon me, text me at the People's Text Line, 590-590, name and location. All right, let's go to the text line here real quick before we go to the phones. Let's see here. I see Pete from Burlington. Bottom of the order, once again, the only reliable part of the Jays' offense. As soon as Springer goes up, I got nervous and looks like I was right. Yeah, I mean, Davis Schneider looked good again. I mean, no one looked good through 7 1/3. Let's be honest. Let's call a spade a spade. No one looked good. But he did look good. You got to give Davis Schneider some credit. He looks like a major leaguer, and he looks like he'll stay, and he deserves to play every day, even if it's not at the same position. I'm not sure really sure we have to spend too much time on that. But, I mean, like, Davis Schneider and Ernie Clements and, I mean, who else is in the bottom of the order today? Dalton Varsho, and, I mean, you want more from Varsho because he had a really hot stretch when they were on the road trip, and then he's really cooled off since then. But you need more from Varsho. But Schneider, Jansen, IKF, Clement, you can get as much as you want from these guys, but at the same time, this goes back to what someone had called to me, I think it was last weekend, about you're going to go as far as your top three goes, and you need more from those guys. I see a text here from Sink from the Rogers Center, slash Etobicoke. So, Sink, I guess you're here tonight. Season ticket holder for a decade. Only reason we stayed tonight was to see the perfect game, which everyone was cheering for. Once Jansen got the hit, we and many more left. Lose or draw, the product on the field isn't watchable and hasn't been for 200 games. I'm hoping Atkins can tell me, every fan and sportscaster journalist tomorrow, that we are all wrong and the process is working. He has to go or the place will be empty come July. Jordan in Etobicoke says, what do I need to hear? I need to hear that I'm stepping down. What's this one from? This is from Nicole in Ottawa. Nicole says, I would love to hear Atkins is handing in his resignation. Mike in St. John, I want Ross to say I resign, not it's a process, and we believe in this core. Zed is the Canadian way, right? Zed from Saskatoon. Ross, shame on, bad show. Ross needs to show some humility and light a fire for the fans. And Mike from Cole Harbour, only interested in hearing from him after they've done something to make the team better. Otherwise, might as well not bother. I kind of agree, Mike. Honestly, I kind of agree, right? Because here's the thing. Like, I kind of like you guys. I expect to hear something like, we're not happy with the results in the field. We believe in the core of the team. That we believe in the talents. We believe they'll turn it around. We're always exploring every avenue. We're always exploring every option to improve the team, but it'll turn around. And honestly, if he goes out and says that tomorrow, after what happened for the vast majority of tonight, and like the text just said, after what happened for, I think it was Sink, after what happened for the vast majority of the last, like, 200-plus games, right, people were going to lose their minds. That's the truth. And even the point, I was going to say it's unfair. It's actually not unfair. It's part of the job to wear this a little bit, right, if you're the manager, the GM, whatever. But if he goes out there and says that, even if it's exactly what he has said in his tenure in Cleveland and in Toronto, this entire time, people are not going to be satisfied, right? And I think, like, I don't know, this is not just a baseball thing. I think in any sport, when people are, like, really opaque like that, especially people in decision-making roles, fans get frustrated. And I think for good reason. You know, I mean, obviously you're not going to tip your hand as a front office executive, but at the same time, like, you can say more. Like, we just got in the NHL, Don Sweeney, the Bruins GM, just went out there and, like, complained to the media for, like, 25 minutes. That was a couple days ago, earlier this week, right? And I'm not saying Ross Atkins has to go do that, but I don't know. There's a lot of wiggle room between not saying anything despite talking for 25 minutes and being really emotional. There's, like, a lot of gray area in between. It's really tough. Let's go to the phones. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590. Star 590 on your cell. Let's go to Sean in Toronto. Sean, welcome to Jays Talk. What's on your mind, man?
Hey, show. I'm just walking home from the game, season ticket holder. All right. What I'd like to hear Atkins say is that he's relieving Schneider of his duties. I don't understand how he continually seems to make decisions that seem so obvious, like pinch hitting Vogelbach today with a man on first. I thought, for sure, this is a double play. And it worked out, because the Rays fumbled the ball, but it was a tailor-made double play ball. It just keeps happening over and over and over again for the last few years. Don't understand it. Thanks well, very much.
Sean, before you go, let me ask you really quickly. So where do you draw the line between – I'm just curious because I've heard a lot of people say stuff like that. I don't think you're entirely wrong, but where do you draw the line between what Schneider does and what Atkins does as a part of, like, the analytics usage and the split between the front office and the manager?
Well, I'm really not – I mean, I'm not in those meetings, so I don't know where they draw the lines on what Schneider's able to do or not to. But you're pinch hitting a guy who's 4 for 40 or something just because he's a left-handed bat, like, and obviously doesn't run very well. So and it happened on Wednesday as well. They pinch hit. I can't remember exactly with the catchers. So, I mean, I don't know who wears it, but if you're Atkins, the way you get out of it is like those sorts of decisions can't continue to be made, whether it's him or whether it's Schneider.
Hey, Sean, appreciate the call, man. Here's the thing. I do think there's a really good chance, and I've said this before, I don't really think a lot of it is John Schneider's fault, because I do believe that he does what Ross Atkins, and maybe not Ross Atkins personally, but just like the way the front office has decided to employ analytics, I do feel like that's why John Schneider is probably very easily going to be the scapegoat if and when things go wrong. I mean, they're 5 games under .500, so you can make the case that things have gone wrong. But I don't know. It's tough for me to entirely blame John Schneider. I know a lot of people are dissatisfied with the moves he makes, but I mean, it just for me, it just smacks more of the process being incorrect. And I think the person who implements that process on a macro level and not a micro level is the front office, right? Like, I think for me, you know, I was thinking about this during the game, because I was thinking about how a lot of people crap on the front office's usage of analytics, and Atkins is obviously the poster boy for that. But for me, one of the things that really annoys me about it, but the whole shebang, the usage of analytics, is that there's no, for me, I truly believe this, there's no way analytics, quote unquote analytics, right, would bear out putting together this kind of team. Look, analytics, which every single team in Major League Baseball uses. There's not one team that does not use analytics. Like the Oakland A's, for all of their faults, the Rockies, the Pirates, all of the teams that you're like used to over the past 5 to 10 years being quote unquote bad, they all use analytics, right? That, like, the usage of analytics would suggest some sort of change when the team struggles to this degree. Analytics would suggest, you think, taking George Springer out of the leadoff spot, right? It would suggest signing better hitters in the offseason. Analytics would tell you to support your excellent pitching staff with literally any kind of offense, right? And that's like the most shallow use of quote-unquote analytics. And I think that, beyond anything else, is the cardinal sin of this team. Like, you can't claim to be really into analytics and then use them this way, right? Like, other teams use them. I don't know, things work out, generally speaking, so it can't be like a – it can't be an analytics thing. It's got to be a usage thing, which really frustrates me. I mean, look at Tyler Alexander, right? This guy came into this game with an ERA of 5.45. This is a guy who the Jays, this season, in March of this year, Alexander, he didn't start the game. I think Sean Armstrong opened that game, and it was the fourth game of the four-game set in Tampa to start the season in Florida, okay? Sean Armstrong starts that game. Tyler Alexander comes in after the opener. He gives up 2 home runs, 5 earned runs total, and today, a perfect game through 7 1/3. And I know they got to him afterwards. Kind of looked like he ran out of gas, right? But you compare those two starts, Alexander made the adjustments. Like, Kevin Cash and the staff of the Rays made the adjustments. And to borrow a term from Blair and Barker, they're a team that are even more khaki-fied than the Blue Jays are, right? Like, they use analytics, like, quote-unquote, the right way, and it results in Tyler Alexander going out there and absolutely dummying the Blue Jays for the better part of 3 hours. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Guy in Maple calling into Jay's Talk. Guy, what's on your mind?
Hey, Shoei. It's very unfortunate that this guy's still a GM of this team. Like, I mean, it's an absolute joke, and I agree with a lot of the texters. It's been 200 games of nothing. Springer, if he's not going to hit, now he's costing us games with his bat. I mean, you know, what the good teams do, and the Yankees are probably the best at it, when you get runners on base, you take a couple of pitches. This swing-first mentality is a joke, especially on a team that has 90% of their players batting under .230, which is a complete joke. You know, we're second worst in the American League in runs scored. Only the White Sox are behind us. run differential. I mean, everyone talks about how good our pitching is. Well, our runs against are right at the bottom of the league, too. We're in the toughest division in the American League. There's nothing that's going to happen this year that's going to say playoffs. We need a guy that comes in right now, and it's really important to evaluate the next 40 to 45 games before the trade deadline to make the right moves on deciding, you know, who we're going to keep and who we're going to trade. There's a lot of one-stop shop on this team. A lot of guys are, you know, a lot of guys are probably going to get traded. The Turners are going to be gone. The, you know, some of the pitchers, the relief pitchers are going to be gone. And I don't want this guy making moves to decide our future when he's done nothing in the 30 years he's been a GM between the Blue Jays and the Indians. And I just can't believe that the fans continue to show up. I know it's a new stadium show, but the only way that this guy's going to get fired, because Shapiro's not going to do it, is if the fans stop going to the game, they start to see empty seats, whatever the case may be. You know, maybe you got to stop buying popcorn and hot dogs and you go to the game, because there's still going to be those fans, you know, who just want to enjoy a game and bring their kid to a game. And I get that, but this product's terrible.
Yeah. Hey, Guy, I appreciate the call, man. It has been very boring. I think for me, I said the cardinal sin was the improper usage of analytics, but another great sin is that they're boring, right? Especially when you look at the performance of the position players. Like, I swear I almost fell asleep in the middle of the fifth inning. Honestly, I had to go get a Coke to make sure I stayed awake. And I'm sitting here at the game in the radio booth. I have like the best seat in the house. It's like when you go to the movies to see a comedy, right? And the worst sin a comedy can commit is to not be funny. And I hear Barker say this all the time, but sports are supposed to be fun. That's why we watch any sport, right? Like, for some entertainment, I would think, right? But it's not a lot of entertainment value when your favorite team is scoring 1 to 2 runs a game, unfortunately. I also do think, what I'm about to say, I'm not trying to imply that Jays fans are fickle. In fact, I feel like I know better than most people that Jays fans are not fickle, because we do Jays talk on a frequent basis, whether I'm with Blair and Barker or I'm doing it like this. But Jays fans are not fickle. But I do think Jays fans are like Guy in the sense that, you know, you're kind of on the knife's edge a little bit, right? And yeah, the renovations do look great. I quite like them personally. I mean, I know not everyone agrees, but I don't know. I like them. I think it looks like a ballpark and not a multi-purpose stadium anymore. It looks actually like a ballpark, which I like. But I don't know. Like, for all the renovations making this place look great, I mean, if the Blue Jays continue down this path, and the truth is, they have some runway to turn it around. But it's just, is it like fool's gold if they do turn it around against these next two games against the Rays, but against the White Sox, Tigers, White Sox, and Pirates? That's the schedule. That takes you to June 3rd, okay? So from now until June 3rd, two more games against the Rays, six against the White Sox. There's a four-game series against the Tigers sandwiched in there, and the Pirates come to the Rogers Center as well for three. Tigers are playing a little bit better than they had been in years past, although they've kind of regressed recently. Pirates got off to a hot start. They've regressed too. I only bring up the schedule because, like, if they go out, like, if they suddenly go out there, and I'm kind of afraid of this, honestly, but if they go out there and they dominate the White Sox, the Tigers, and the Pirates, and they're suddenly, like, four games above 500, I don't know. Does that cover up obvious flaws of this team? It might, honestly. I see some more texters. Diane in Perth, there's nothing I want to hear from Ross Atkins. What I do want is a new GM in place prior to the July trade deadline, as some potentially franchise-altering decisions will have to be made. Let's see. Mark in Scarborough. Mark says, there's been really not much change from Montoyo to Schneider. It's not the coaching. It's the personnel, and that's on Atkins and Shapiro. Ollie from East York. Only one thing that would make me happy is for Atkins to announce his resignation. And Lauren Wishago. I don't want to hear any words from Atkins. I want to hear actions. What is he going to do? 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Let's go back to the phones. 590-590, I just read a couple texts. Go back to the text line very quickly, but very soon, I should say. But Mark in Toronto joining us here on Jays Talk. Mark, what's on your mind? Mark, you there? Going once, Mark. Going twice, Mark. All right, we'll go to the next caller. We'll go to a different caller. Mark can call back. let's go to Greg in Niagara Falls. Now, Greg, you heard me talk about Atkins and like the line that is or can be drawn between the front office and the managing staff. Where do you fall on what needs to happen with Ross Atkins and this team going forward?
Doing a very good job tonight, Sholey.
Thanks,
just
man.
I would tell you.
What's on your mind? Yeah. What's on your mind, man?
Yeah, I'm just saying you're doing a really good job. I've never been on the air with you. You're doing a really good job.
Thank you.
Yeah, like this goes back to 2001. I've been a G's fan since 83, 84. I'm 48 years old, and I'm getting, like, really discouraged. Like, I'm not giving up. I was never like that even before they won the World Series in 92. But this is, like, I'm agreeing with most fans. Like I said, I usually don't to this degree. It's the same, really, story since last year, would you say, 200 games, right? And whether Ross admits it or not, he's not going to be with the Jays if this continues.
He probably won't be. Yeah, it's true. No,
because like your other caller said, if fans stop going, I mean, these players are still making a lot of money, too, don't forget, on the team. And I like them, but they're making a lot of money. What was it, the third highest payroll in the league? So, I mean, they have some good players, but like I'm baffled with George Springer, but thought he was a very good player. But yeah, like I'm just discouraged, and I don't want to give up 100%, and I'm not, but I just want to hear your comments, and I'll hang up. And nice talking to you.
Yeah, you too, Greg. Thank you for calling in. Thanks for the kind words. It's just, I know, you know, the problem, I think, with dismissing anyone is you kind of have to believe to a certain extent that they'll turn it around on the other side. I think I forget if this is not only a baseball thing, I should say. I think you've seen this in other sports as well. You talk about this in the NBA. I feel like we talk about this all the time in the NHL, actually. But when you fire a head coach mid-season and then you replace someone, there's always some kind of like little boost, right? There's always a little bit of a boost for the record, and it kind of, oh, the team's rejuvenated. They look alive. They have energy again. And then usually the same flaws that they've been saddled with, or they've saddled themselves with in the Blue Jays case, usually come up again. I kind of, to Greg's point, I mean, I wonder if it would result in tangible change right away. But I suppose the other half of that discussion point is, does it really even matter? Like, I think a lot of people are like Greg. I think a lot of people are, the season is not over because, you know, he has a third wildcard spot these days for the last couple of years. You know, the playoffs are a teensy bit easier to get into, even if it's still really hard to make the playoffs. And as we know, if you get into the playoffs, really anything can happen. And a lot of major league players have said that to me. But at the same point, I mean, if the same flaws are going to plague you during the season, also in the playoffs, does it really matter? Right, if you're not going to tangibly change something, whether it's with a player trade or acquisition or, like, you know, the way you know your lineup or something. Although I'll say this, you can take Springer out of the leadoff spot. I'm not really sure. I'll be completely honest. If there is one lineup change, and I say this as someone who has advocated for it's time for Vogelbach to go, it's time for Spencer Horwitz to come up and bat in his place or whatever. But I'm not really sure there's one or two changes that can that will actually be the magic fix. You know what I mean? I'm not even really sure firing Ross Atkins is the magic fix either. From what I have been told, James Click, who probably would be the interim GM, if not the outright GM, if Atkins were to step down, and we'll see what happens next year, I suppose. But if that were to happen, right, and Click is the GM, I've heard he's also pretty analytically heavy. But then again, to the previous point we were talking about, when it comes to the way you use analytics, I mean, maybe he would use them a different way. I don't know. I just it does kind of come down to that knife's edge again. Like, where are you in terms of what you believe? Is the season over, or is there still runway for the team to improve? Even if it is just beating up on god awful teams and losing to the Orioles and the Yankees and the I don't know, like the Texans and the Rays of the world, right? Those are the team. Probably all those teams are going to make the playoffs. Maybe not the Rays, but the Rangers and the Orioles and the Yankees are almost all certainly going to make the playoffs. So, is it worth it being stuck in the mushy middle? As we call it, I feel like that was the discussion we had about the Raptors for the last, like, 3 years, and it kind of bit them, and now look where the Raptors are. I would very much prefer for the Jays to not be where the Raptors are. Let me put it that way. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Josh calling in from Kelowna, B.C. Josh, what's on your mind? What's going on the West Coast?
Oh, you know, I'm out here hiking in the mountains. I had to get away from that abysmal game and go clear my head and call you guys. So, I agree with a lot of the other callers, but I see, like, this isn't a team that, you know, I'm hoping, oh, they'll turn it around. They have not done that for 3 years. Like, this is not a go deep in the playoffs team. And this is the reckoning year. And so my thought is, I would much prefer as a fan for them to trade players, start afresh, and then try to, you know, keep as much of the pitchers as you can and see what happens for the rest of the year. Call up the young guys, just see what happens. I don't care if they, you know, if they go like, if they lose 90 games or 80 games, just change something and then try to rebuild. Because if you think about it, this is the worst team, the worst hitting team that I have seen in I don't know how many years. Like, they're terrible. And if you think that we're going to, like, beat up on the Sox or the Pirates or any of these weaker teams, I don't think so. We are the worst hitting team in the league, or in the top three of the worst hitting teams in the league.
Well, the bottom, like, three, I suppose.
The bottom three. We're terrible. Like, we're absolutely terrible. The only thing that saves us is pitching. And if I was a pitcher, I'd be throwing up my glove thinking, what do I got to do? Like, how can you guys not hit the ball? I mean, I'd be like, let me in there. I'll try to hit the ball. That's how frustrated I'd be if I was a pitcher on this team. Anyway, that's my rant, so there you go.
All right, Josh. Well, enjoy the rest of your hike. Thank you for joining me here on Jay's Talk. I suppose it's – I was going to say you're hiking it now, but I guess if you're in BC, it's still like 7:30. So, yeah, hey, still a good time to go for a hike. Yeah, oh gosh, the Blue Jays offense. It is just – like I said before, it's so boring. It's boring, right? I think if this team was – what are they, 19 and 24? If this team was 19 and 24, but they were losing games scoring, like, I don't know, 6-7 runs a game, right? That's probably above the major league average. I haven't checked, but let's just say that's above the major league average, right? 6-7 runs a game, but they're still 19 and 24. I almost feel like you take that, right? Like, based on what you've gotten for the past 200 plus games, I genuinely think you would take that. It does feel like, to me, I was having this conversation with Ailish and Justin the other day when the Jays got rained out in Baltimore. We were chatting on the fan pregame, and you know, I think it was Justin, and he asked me, like, what the demarcation point was for this philosophy of the team, like the run prevention philosophy, right? Where did everything diverge, I think was the word we used. And he went back, Justin went all the way back, I think, to Vladdy hitting the home run in the preseason against in Montreal. I forget what they played, but in Montreal, I think it was at Exhibition Stadium, right? And I remember for years, God, that was like whenever people called in and we talked about, like, what is Vladdy's signature moment? It felt like that was his signature moment, which is insane to say, right? I think they're probably more now, probably, question mark. It's bad of me to not be able to immediately conjure one, which makes me feel like maybe I'm wrong in saying probably. But I only bring it up because while he said that, I think the demarcation point for where things diverged and where we got where we are now is when Teoscar Hernandez was traded. And I remember I did a wrap-up show the day after the season ended, that season, right, when the collapse against the Mariners. And Teo hit two home runs in the game against the Mariners. I was here. I might have been the most electric I have ever seen, like, sitting in the radio booth, I should say, ever seen this place. It was nuts. And they lost that game, and Springer and Bo collide, and Carlos Santana does the thing, and so on and so forth, and we know what happened. But It feels like it was everything. I think there was a text from Jen in Toronto, and Jen, I appreciate it as always, who brought up the idea, like, brought up, ask Ross Atkins why you traded away three hitters and brought in and kind of went for this philosophy of this team. I do kind of think that was the point where everything kind of diverged, right? I mean, you brought in Eric Swanson, and no, he has not been great this season, but you gave away Teoscar Hernandez, and we can relitigate the Moreno-Varsho-Lourdes trade for the rest of time. I still think it looks better. You know, I know Varsho's not been hitting great lately, but I think it's probably going to be fine, too, because Moreno hasn't exactly hit the cover off the baseball. But, you know, you look at – and the only reason I bring that up is because it really means you got rid of Lourdes and Teoscar. And you could have also like, even if you got rid of them, you could have still re-signed them. They were free agents recently. Last season, in fact. They were both free agents, and they both chose to sign elsewhere. And Teoscar Hernandez was very complimentary of the front office and the team. He clearly would have been fine coming back here. I tend to think Lourdes Gurriel Jr. probably would have been as well. But there was a conscious decision, my point is, to not bring those guys back, right? And instead, the dollars of the offseason, and again, we don't have to relitigate this entirely, but they went to people like IKF and Justin Turner. And I think Justin Turner, he's slumping right now, but he had largely, for most of the season up until a couple weeks ago, had been as advertised. It's just, that's a problem, right? That's a problem. And again, I think the roster construction, roster decision-making standpoints are where we all have issues with. And unfortunately, that does tie back into Ross Atkins. I think it was Josh's point as well. I got to say, I don't remember what game this was, but it was a Bassett start. And Bassett kind of, like, ripped. Like, he didn't actually name anyone, but he talked about how, like, all of the pitchers are pitching well, but their ERAs are inflated, and they're you know, a lot of stressful innings. We heard Gausman say that a couple times. Bassett has never been one to mince words, and he just had his post-game availability. I am curious what Bassett said, because he was very emotional today when he screwed up. The ball was hit right back to him. Taylor made double play. He drops the ball, still gets it out at first base, but the out at second he misses. And then, you know, a couple minutes later, they get the double play to end the inning, and he screams. He was so jacked up. And I got to think at least a part of it was excitement, but you got to think a part of that was frustration too. Let's hear what Bassett had to say to the media just a couple of minutes ago.
Chris, when you're pitching in so many games that are this tight, do those high-stress innings add up over a year, over a start?
Yeah, it's going to execute pitches.
Over the last year and this year, you've supported the offense. You've talked highly about it. Where do you feel about this team as a whole right now, or out in the season?
Struggling.
You surpassed the 900 strikeout milestone tonight. Does that have any kind of special meaning for you?
No.
Oh my goodness, Chris Bassett. It does not usually mince words. Did he mince any words? How many words did he use? 7 words. He said he spoke 7 words in the span of like 30 plus seconds. He is not a happy camper. You know what? Credit to John Chidley Hill, who was the second voice you heard, and Keegan Matheson, the first voice you heard. Credit to those guys for like trying to draw blood from a stone, but Bassett does not sound particularly pleased. I will say, don't blame the guy for not being particularly excited about the 900th strikeout. He got his 900th strikeout on a pitch clock violation. Like, I know they count. I know they all count the same. They still notch number 900 in your record book on like Baseball Reference or whatever. But I mean, that's got to kind of suck, right? I think his next strikeout was when he got a Rosarena. The fourth strikeout of the game was when he got a Rosarena with the curveball. Right? It was the sinker, 93 miles an hour, 88 mile an hour cutter, and then like a 71 mile an hour curveball in there. And he got him. That was far more fitting for your quote unquote 900th strikeout, but at the very least, at the end there, I don't blame him for not being particularly pleased with how things are going for the 19-24 Blue Jays. Let's go to one more call before we squeeze in a break. We'll get some more calls on the other side. But Drew in the nation's capital, Drew calling from Ottawa, joining us here on Jays Talk. Drew, what's on your mind?
Hey, show. I thought we were going to get a little bit of excitement tonight. I mean, we had a perfect game going, although that got broken up there. And, you know, maybe it's not the excitement we want, but hey, sure, we might, you know, take what we can get. But no, I mean, we've been talking about the hitting. Everybody's talking about the hitting. I mean, you look on MLB.com. I mean, you look at the top four guys, 0-for-16, 3 strikeouts, which at least they're making contact with the ball. But again, it's just like something's got to give here. Like, do we have to go back to the Schneider thing, batting leadoff? Do we got to move Danny Jansen up and around? Like, I don't know. Like, it just feels like we're trying to slam the same pegs and the same, you know, kind of holes here, and nothing's giving. Like, I mean, again, it was like we had this rally going right in the eighth, and we're getting excited, and you know, Vogelbeck comes up and we got lucky there, and then, you know, Biggio and all that, and it's just like, I don't know. I think the fans by far and away are on the ball here. Like, and Blair and Barker are on the ball here. I think the talent's just not there. I think we gave something up back a few years ago with Teoscar and you know, Gurriel Jr. And I don't think we're going to get that back, and we're going to have to go through a cycle here and rebuild.
Hey, Drew, I appreciate the call, man. Thanks for joining me on Jays Talk. And that kind of gets to what I was talking about a little bit earlier, right before I brought Drew on, before we heard from Bassett. I think, too, the other half of that is, okay, sure, you decide you don't want to go re-sign Teoscar. All right. Didn't really agree with that. He seemed like the most obvious answer, because you could have still kept Swanson and gotten back Teoscar for quote unquote only money, right? I know it's not like a bottomless pit of money, but at the same time, it's not like he signed for a lot of money with the Dodgers. Now again, maybe it just makes it easier to sign with the Dodgers because of Shohei Ohtani and oh yeah, Mookie Betts, oh yeah, Freddie Freeman, oh yeah, Will Smith. So they have a better team, obviously, right? They have a better team than like 99% of Major League Baseball aside of the Braves, effectively. But maybe that makes it easier. Maybe you would have taken more money for Teoscar to sign with the Blue Jays. Maybe you could have re-signed Lourdes. He seems to like it in Arizona, so maybe that's not that. Like maybe that was those two moves were never in the cards. But the point is, they could have still supplemented the team with other offensive players. Like I see a text here from, where is it? Nick in North Bay. Nick says, "This is a franchise that had Edwin, Bautista, and Donaldson. We've been spoiled in the past, and maybe it will never happen again. But here's the thing: I think it can happen again, right? And like I don't like obviously those three guys." Are special players, right? One of their names is on the level of excellence. I'm looking at it right now. And another guy won an MVP. Like, they obviously are special players. But it doesn't mean, like, you can't go out there and get other offensive players. Like, Tommy Pham would probably have improved the offensive production of this team. Like, and again, J.D. Martinez, I know people banged the drum for J.D. Martinez. I know people wanted Jorge Soler. And I mean, again, Martinez and Soler and Matt Chapman, none of them have had particularly heralded seasons. But I mean, something could have been different, I suppose, was my point, right? I still think the obvious moves to make would have been the guys who have played for this franchise, notably Lourdes and Teoscar. And again, if you'd gotten Teoscar Hernandez over Justin Turner, the way the outfield is constructed, you probably still could have had Teoscar just DH most nights. I think the other half of this conversation, again, is that I'm not sure the way the best bats are playing, I'm not sure there is a magic button you can push to fix it. And that's the problem, right? Like Drew mentions, and Blair and Barker have said this to me many times, but it might just be that the team isn't very good. I mean, you see flashes of it here and there, and I think that's what kind of worries me, that those flashes will be what makes them hold on far too late. Again, it just reminds me of the conversation about the Raptors. I know not everyone's a basketball fan, but, I mean, God, for those basketball fans out there, how many times in the last, like, 2 years have people gone out there and said, you should have traded Pascal Siakam, would have gotten more back for him if you had traded him the year before, should have not let Fred VanVleet walk for nothing. I think they actually made up pretty well on the OG trade. Emmanuel quickly looks pretty good, right? But and they got back RJ Barrett as well. Like, that was a pretty good trade, I think, all things considered. But, you could have gotten more. And that's what I'm afraid of when it comes to the Blue Jays. Will them holding on by a thread until July turn this team around, or will it be what maybe delays the inevitable? I'm not sure. Still some time to give me a phone call. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. 590-590 is the text line, the people's text line, always open. Leave your name and location if you do text me. Let's take a break. When we come back, more phone calls, more texts on the other side. You're listening to Jay's Talk, Show Alley with you on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
It's just a long season. I think it's not really so-called time to worry in that aspect of it. I think it's just more so just the urgency just to fix things now. There's obviously a point in the season where you look at it and you're like, we've got to make changes, whatever it may be. I'm not saying right now is the time to do that. It's just we just got to play better.
That is Chris Bassitt talking about his feelings on if it's too early to be worried about the Blue Jays as a team. You know, I just feel like whenever anyone says, like, whenever anyone gives their thoughts and then immediately follows it by saying, I'm not saying that's what I'm saying. Come on, like, that's what you mean, right? That is what you're saying. I'm not putting words in Bassett's mouth. That is literally what he said. The idea of, obviously, there's a point in season where you got to make changes. But I've always thought it's kind of funny to immediately follow that by saying, like, oh, yeah, it's not what I'm actually saying. But I don't know. I don't blame him for being frustrated. I don't blame him for being frustrated. I don't blame the fans for being frustrated. You guys, the listeners, I don't blame anyone, because it has been extremely frustrating. Believe me, I am with you. I'm Show Alley. You're listening to Jay's Talk here on the Sportsnet Radio Network. We're here for about another 15 minutes or so. Still some time to get to your phone calls. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. And 590, 590 is the text line. I almost forgot. You think I would remember after saying it a billion times. But 590, 590, name and location, the people's text line is always open. On the text line, I see here Pat in Calgary. Pat says, this is the most depressed I've been watching a Blue Jays team in 10 years. The roster consistently underperforms, and there's nothing in the dark to back it up. Like, I feel like you can interpret that multiple ways. There's nothing like in the underlying statistics to back up them playing better, or there's nothing coming reinforcements-wise, I suppose, to make them better. And I think that's why, like, I think it was last weekend when I did it by myself, Jays Talk, you know, we were talking about, like, how when Vladdy was about to get called up, it was Vladdy, Bo, and, like, Biggio were the guys about to get called up, and kind of thought, okay, the future looks really bright. The future looks really bright, and that's kind of how it looks for, like, the Orioles right now. And, I mean, kind of hard to use the Rangers as an example because they just won the World Series with a mix of rookies slash young players and free agent signings, veteran players. So it's kind of a little difficult to make that a one-to-one comparison. But the Orioles, I think, are a great comparison because they do have a lot of young guys who some of them are finding it hard to even find playing time in the majors because there's so many good young players, right? But right now, they use the word again from Justin and Ailish, things have kind of diverged here. Ryan in Campbellville River, BC. Ryan says, I would like to hear Ross say he's looking to make more trades to add more hitting. Diane from Paris, Ontario says, I need Atkins to not be a used car salesman. Pardon me. The fans need to hear him say that he screwed up by not getting what was needed. He needs to be accountable and own his mistakes. Evan from Toronto, right here in the sixth, says, just find it funny that Bassett received his 900th K via pitch clock violation. Agreed. Mike in Guelph also goes on to say, also, it's been the communication from the front office, which has really frustrated the fan base. It's true, again, like they have never really communicated all that well. Like, really? Let's be honest. Like, in the tenure of Shapiro and Atkins, like, really never, right? And again, that's their prerogative. They don't have to. They're not truly, you would think they're accountable to the fans, but they're not accountable to the fans. They're accountable to, like, the ownership, I suppose. And I think it was Guy and Maple, and if ownership is pleased by the product on the field, or let me rephrase that. If they're pleased by the amount of money they're making, then no ownership group in the world is going to change things if you're making money, but I don't know. I also think that with the renovations done, does it mean that, like, now there's nothing really holding you back from making changes? That might very well be the case. Let's go back to the phones. 416-870-0590, 1-888-660-590, star 590 on your cell. Rob in Port Hope, you've been holding for a while. Rob, what's on your mind?
Oh, I'm glad I was able to be patient because I'm not patient with this team anymore. So I got to tell you,
it's fair.
I've been a season ticket holder for 20 years, Jays fan since the beginning. Even a season ticket holder down at spring training, watch a lot of Jays, love baseball. And I got to tell you, like, you know what I think the main problem goes back to? It's a lack of accountability. You know, whether it's the boardroom or it's the dressing room, what people want from a leader is accountability. We all make mistakes. But what you don't see in this organization since Shapiro and Atkins took over is accountability. Now, listen, I like a lot of what Shapiro has done. I think he's been great. I mean, if you look at what we pay a president to do, is to get money from owners. And he's gotten us a payroll, which is, what, $230, $250? It's right at the luxury tax level. 2 years in a row, we've never been that close to luxury tax before. He's invested a lot of Rogers' money into – we've got the best broadcasters, including yourself. I think the best coverage in MLB. I listen to a lot of other teams. We've got the best facilities. We've got a lot of great staff. But where is there a slip-up? Well, a slip-up started when Shapiro decided to bring Atkins with him and make him a GM for the first time in Atkins' career. A lot of people don't know that. He was never a GM. He was a player personnel guy. He had come up through Cleveland's system. But the first round of mistakes he made were in 2016 and 17 when he didn't get enough for all the talent that was being dismantled from the team. You know, if you look back at the trades and the moves that he made, it was a disaster. We got nothing for that star-studded lineup, and there was still some opportunity there. He waited a year too long to trade Donaldson and ended up getting Merriweather for him. Of course, didn't turn into much. And you look at the drafts and the lack of development. So what does Atkins have to do in the last 3 or 4 years? Spend all of those dollars that Shapiro got him on starting pitching, which, great. Listen, we got a great staff. And I think it's a shame that we're not talking about Bassett more. He's one of the best pitchers I've ever watched pitch. He's a pitcher. He's not a chucker. He was glorious, right? And the only reason that he didn't get more attention is our bats were so weak, we made the other guy look like Cy Young. So So, but where's the accountability? They waited till the end of the year to release the hitting coach last year, and it was obvious that you had the best offense 2 years ago. This guy comes in, and we suddenly are one of the worst offenses going, finishing last season, and the worst, second worst offense this year. There's no accountability, and that's what players want. Like, why is Springer still batting leadoff? I can see it at spring training. I wrote a newsletter to my friends who follow baseball, and I said, look, you don't have to be a baseball guy, but you sit there and watch enough of a guy who has to cheat on the fastball. The pitchers just salivate because they know George is cheating on the fastball, so then they just play with him with off-speed stuff on the outside corner and bust him inside, and he's hitting 200. He's done. Everybody can see that he's done. I love him as a human being, and he's fantastic. He's a great guy, and I'm glad we signed him. But don't make two mistakes at the same time. You know, we criticize shortstops who make a physical error, bobble the ball, and then throw it over the first baseman's head. They make the second error. That's exactly what Atkins has done. You made a mistake with George. It couldn't have been predicted. Cut him loose. Let Schneider play every day. Bring up Barger. Put him in right field. But there's just a lack of accountability. He keeps coming. If he says process one more time, I'm going to throw something through the TV. If he comes on tomorrow morning at 10:45 and says anything other than I resign, if you look at the amount of money we've given that guy, the facilities, the staff, all those resources, and he's in last place, and he's behind teams that have one-third of the payroll, I just don't get how a guy can keep his job. There's no accountability. That is Shapiro's blind spot. Lack of accountability of Ross Atkins thinking he was going to be a great general manager. And he hasn't been a great general manager. He's been an F on the scorecard. There's no way to sugarcoat it. And if he says process, oh, my God, I'm going to lose it.
Well, Rob, I appreciate the call, man. I'm just going to say this right now. He's going to say the word process. He will. Here's the thing. I actually think the bingo card is not if he says the word process. It's how many times he says the word process. Like, process is the middle square on the bingo card. It's actually like, what's the over under on the amount of times he says the word process? I think it's like 5.5. That's what I think. I'm taking the over, man. I agree with you. No one wants to hear that. First of all, you're absolutely right. I think the point about the salary and the payroll and what you're getting for that payroll is definitely a valid one. And when you look back to his career in Cleveland, and I don't want to like litigate his entire career, obviously, because it's not, it obviously blame, there's a lot of blame to go around, but I mean, I think there was a fear, I remember, when those guys came over to Toronto, that the team would be run in the way that Cleveland was run, right? Which was, and Cleveland's not a small city, but it's certainly not as big a city as, like, certainly Toronto, but the GTA, but also all of Canada, right? And that's what it means to have the support for the Toronto Blue Jays, because it's not just people from here where I live that like this team. It's kind of everyone, right? So, you know, it does feel like we've kind of reverted back to that aspect of the conversation. Like, before Ryu was signed, if you guys remember, that was the fear. And I always thought Ryu signing in Toronto was like the signal that it was not going to be treated, a big market team was not going to be treated like a small market team. And it's funny because they have the payroll of one of the biggest teams in baseball, and yet you're getting the product we've gotten. Let's go to the phones. Let's squeeze a couple more calls in before we got to go. Joseph in Keenberg. Where's Keenberg, Joseph? Is that here in Ontario?
It's actually pronounced Kleinberg. It's in Vaughan.
Kleinberg. I got you. Okay. All right. Well, what's on your mind?
We just got back from the game with my son. He's a big baseball fan. And I just kind of feel that we're so close. But yet, so far, we have the best starting team in MLB. We have great relievers. We have one of the best defense in the league. I just think we need maybe one bat, or maybe possibly two if possible. Why not trade Tiedemann? Or there's got to be somebody else that somebody wants on our roster that we can kind of sing a deal and just kind of shake things up, and sooner than later, and maybe we could turn the thing around. Sometimes you just need a spark, and I think, you know, hopefully that could be something that we could look at.
Hey, Joseph, thanks for the call, man. So trading someone like Ricky Tiedemann, he is the team's best prospect. I think there's a lot of hope for him there. If you think Ricky Tiedemann can go out and be enough as like the centerpiece of the deal to get you like a really high-end difference maker of a bat, okay, if that guy is Luis Robert Jr., I think he'd maybe do that deal, right? I think generally speaking, I'm pro trading prospects for big players. But I mean, if all Ricky Tiedemann is going to get you is like a mid-tier bat, then is it worth making that trade? Personally, I say no. Like at some point, you're going to need the prospects to come up and play for your team. And I know Tiedemann in particular had the ulnar nerve inflammation, which sounds awful, by the way. But he had the arm inflammation, the nerve inflammation, probably is not going to pitch for the Blue Jays this year after he looked really good in the spring. That obviously, and his health has been the big thing with him, the big bugaboo. But, gosh, I mean, that's tough, right? That's really tough because ultimately, do you want to further strip the farm to make the team better if you're just just papering over the real issues, which is the construction of the lineup, right? Like if you could, like, don't get me wrong, like if you could go out and get Rafael Devers, I would do that, right? If you could go out and get, even if you go out and get like Ryan McMahon from the Rockies or something, I'm just throwing out names here, right? I don't think any of these guys are going to get moved, obviously, not, much less Devers, obviously. But I'm just saying, if you can get some of the better bats offensively out there, it probably would solve some of these problems because it would mean everyone could play a little bit less out of position. And certainly Springer's a part of that. But gosh, I mean, I'm not sure it's enough. And B, I'm not sure you want to make that deal if you believe tearing it down is the right way to go, right? That's what it is. Let's go to Mario in Smithsville, Ontario, next here on the phone lines. Mario, what's on your mind?
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Just on the way home from the game, so I've got a question and then I've got a comment.
Sure.
So the question is, are we being a little too premature in counting the Jays out this year? You know, they're typically a wild card team. They're in a tough division. Typically a team, you know, to make it into the playoffs or hitting or winning 90 games, 90 plus games in a season. But if you're to say that you're going to make a decision this year and you got to make a decision now, then my vote's on Vladdy Guerrero. I think Vladdy had a breakout year. But I think what you see today is the real Vladdy Guerrero. And I think that I think it's time, right? I don't believe that he's got the discipline in regards to his play, especially on his offense, the way he's getting picked off on bags and you know, the excessive leadoffs. But I believe that's the individual. You were just talking earlier about, you know, somebody significant and getting value for that trade for somebody significant. I think it's Vladdy Guerrero.
Well, what do you think then, before you go, Mario, what do you think you could get for Vladdy at this point? Because I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying my question really is always, if there is like a significant flaw with someone, like wouldn't other people also see that flaw?
Yeah, but you know what? It's in my opinion, everybody's all defensive in regards to Vladdy because of his name, because of what he did in the minors. You know, he was tied with Bo Bichette and some of the other guys that came up through the ranks. And I think that persona came with him. But I don't believe and you know what? He's got the potential. I mean, the guy hit, you know, he was great in the home run derby. He won the home run derby last year or the year before that or whenever it was. So I think he's got a name. He's got a lineage there. He's got a history there. And so that's that in itself. But I don't think, you know, I'll tell you where I got soured. When he took the team to arbitration in the offseason, right, they offered him a decent contract. He came back, asked for more. Took the team, won that, and then he produces what he's producing this year. I don't know that he can come back from that, but to your point, maybe it's a name.
Hey, Mario, thanks for the call, man. And maybe you're right. Maybe a big trade is needed. I admit I do. I personally would not trade Vladdy, if only because, and it's probably like the absolute wrong night to say that, because he had two pretty bad errors, right? Especially the throw to third on what I thought was really aggressive base running from Randy Arozarena, by the way. But still, you can't make those throws. Not great for Vladdy. You know, at this point, I think I would honestly kill just to get 2023 Vladdy. And God knows we complained, me included, hand up. I'm not blaming you guys. But we all complained about 2023 Vladdy. Now, having said all of that, I'm not sure Vladdy's actually the one I would trade, because I kind of feel like you can get Vladdy at this point for a contract that is not unreasonable. But I mean, I am a little worried about the long-term future of Bo. I think he does want to make a boatload of money. I generally think he probably deserves it. But at the same time, like, I guess the reason I'm anti-trading those two in particular is because I am truly deathly afraid of what it would be if those two guys left via trade, obviously, or they walk in free agency, which is not that far away, which we've talked about ad nauseum in the last couple of years. But if they leave, and then, like, can't you just see Vladdy going to play for the Dodgers and becoming like one of the best hitters in the world? I just, and maybe, you know what I mean? I'm not sure anyone really wants to deal with that. At least of all me personally, maybe that makes me a coward. I don't know, but I would rather see Vladdy and Bo figure it out on the Blue Jays. But the other half of that is again, it does mean they can't be treated as ultimate superstars, right? Like if they're nice complementary pieces that ultimately go along with your other superstar, or you make a team of no superstars, but all of them hit relatively well. If that's what you can get and they're a part of it, I think you can win ball games with a team like that. But it's just, I think the mistake is to Mario's point that you can't treat them like absolute bona fide stars, because I don't really think they are. Let's get a couple more calls in here. Let's get one more, actually. Shlomo in Scarborough joining us here on JSTOC. Shlomo, I haven't heard from you in a while. What's up?
Hey, man. Yeah, listen, I think I'm hoping we're seeing the end of an era in Toronto sports. The end of that era being these, let's just say the culture shifted. Enough of these soft-spoken corporate speak clowns running the show here, gaslighting Toronto fans. Toronto fans deserve better. We're smart. We're savvy. We spend money. We go to games. We're loyal. We travel well. I was at a game in San Diego, the San Diego game, and there were so many Jays fans there. It's unreal. No other team has this kind of loyalty other than maybe the Yankees. You know, we travel so well. We're so loyal. We keep showing up. They raise prices. We're paying it. And what do we have? We have a GM and a president that talks to us like we're children. Like we don't know. Like we're not savvy. It's not fair. It's disrespectful. And it's got to end. You know, we're seeing that type of people in sports, you know, that trend that was so popular post-2020 of getting these younger folks that talk nice and just making sure that it's good for the PR. And I think that's over now. I think where people want humans talking to humans, and they don't want to be talked to with this corporate speak anymore. And I'm hoping tomorrow Ross Atkins going to do the best thing he's done as in his time as a Blue Jay, and resign, and hopefully we can bring somebody in here. I think we're paying our karma right now for getting rid of AA. I mean, look, he hasn't even re-signed any of his core here. Honestly, you couldn't even write how bad this team looks on paper. It's a terrible investment. The shareholders of Rogers deserve better, and the people of Toronto deserve better. And frankly, The broadcasters deserve better, too. You guys do a good job, man. Like, very impressed with Ben Schulman this year. He's been excellent. And obviously, the radio team, everybody. The way Sportsnet's done a good job, I'm going to tell you, Roger's done a really good job evolving with this new podcast era and getting with the times. It's time for Rogers to take this call. Somebody send it up the chain and do the same thing. Evolve. Stop making the same mistakes. Learn from the mistakes. You're an investor in the Leafs. You saw what keeping Dubas around all those years did, and investing in a core and letting them run the show and just being like being babies. Enough of that. Let's win. Let's not worry about what the optics of things are all the time. And let's get people in here that think about one thing and one thing only: winning. We deserve it. We're a great city. Show, you're great at your job. These guys need to be great at their job, too. Jeff and Blair, great at their jobs.
Shlomo, that is, I appreciate the call. That is, I think, the nicest thing, Tom, anyone has ever said to me on JSTOC. Oh, that's funny. You know what? I genuinely agree with Shlomo in the sense. First of all, I'm pretty sure Ben's listening. So yeah, good. Thank you for saying that, Shlomo. He probably heard you. I agree with you. I think this is the same kind of conversation we had about Kyle Dubas, I remember, and his approach to signing the core here in the city. Like, we can and we will. That rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, especially when things worked out the way they did. And now the Leafs just course-corrected and hired an experienced GM in Brad for a living and hired, like, a mean guy who's going to hold you accountable in Craig Berube, right? Maybe the Jays need to do that, too. I am looking forward to seeing what Ross Atkins says tomorrow morning. I'm going to be at that press conference, so we will certainly talk about it tomorrow as well. I appreciate you, all of you, being with me on Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you, of course, by your local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Gander, Newfoundland, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Your local family-owned Crown at crown.com, Canada's number one rust protection. For Ben Schulman, Chris LaRue, Tom Young, Nick Blackmore, Andrew Adams, I'm Sho Ali. I am out of here. I am back again for the rest of the Rays series. Daniele Francesco. Kaminsky in with me tomorrow. I'm solo on Sunday. We'll see what Ross Atkins has to say tomorrow morning. We'll talk to you later.